Hello, and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. My name is Shalia M. Pardon, and in this show, we are going to discuss the fundamentals of the measure phase. But before we get started, to learn more about me and my background, be sure to check out my profile at GoGo.com. And if at any time you have questions or comments regarding the content of this show, please use the question and comment box located in the lower right-hand corner of the homepage of GoGo.com. It is suggested that you submit questions as they occur, then click Submit. Your questions will be answered soon after the completion of this broadcast and posted to the GoGo.com homepage website. Now let's begin. In previous shows, we discussed the fundamentals of Six Sigma. We determined that Six Sigma was a methodology or mindset for how to logically go about solving problems. We also learned that it was a systematic approach for reducing defects, as well as a set of tools for analyzing data. And lastly, it was a measurement-based strategy to achieve a level of Six Sigma in value, which means a process that produces less than 3.4 defects or errors per 1 million opportunities available for a defect or error to occur. We also learned Six Sigma tools and methodology are deployed through two sub-methodologies. The first Six Sigma sub-methodology is called DMAIC, which stands for Define, Measure, Analyze, Improve, and Control. And this sub-methodology, it is used for addressing problems with existing products and our processes, seeking to reduce variation and incrementally improve. The second sub-methodology is called DFSS. This stands for Design for Six Sigma, and it is used for developing a new process or product from a concept stage to commercialization. We're going to focus our attention to the Six Sigma DMAIC system for reducing variation and incrementally improving product and processes. And we will defer the DFS system for a later show. In the DMAIC system, there are five phases for implementing Six Sigma tools and methodology. They are define, measure, analyze, improve, and control. In a previous broadcast, we discussed the first phase of the Six Sigma DMAIC process called the Define phase in some length. So in this show, we will cover the second phase of the Six Sigma DMAIC process, which is called the Measure phase. But before we begin, it is helpful to review the Define phase, because without a Define phase, any Six Sigma black belt or green belt will suffer or struggle in subsequent phases. So it's very important, again, to properly identify what the problem is before you begin collecting data. In the Define phase, we learn the answers to these questions. Who are my customers, both internal customers and external customers? What matters the most to satisfy my customers? What is critical to quality, or CTQ? What tools do I use to help scope the problem within boundaries of the process that I can study or within my responsibility? What are the defects that I am trying to reduce? Where are the defects located? How long has the defects been occurring? What are the benefits for the company or for myself by reducing this defect? Now that we have completed the Define phase to understand and refine the problem to be addressed or studied, the Measure phase is needed to establish the techniques for collecting data or to quantify the current problem and establish the baseline performance for which your Six Sigma DMAIC project seeks to improve. Note that whether we were in the Define phase or the Measure phase, while the model shows it in a sequential manner, it does not always occur in linear sequence. At times, there may be a need to return to the previous phase to ensure the thoroughness of the previous step or phase, but also to ensure the thoroughness of completion of your project. The first step or element of the measure phase is to identify measurement and variation. In this particular step, we will identify the types and sources of variation and the impact of variation on process performance. As well, we will identify the types of measure for variance and establish criteria for good process measure. Let's start with the first. Let's look at the types and sources of variation. Consider variation is a natural occurring phenomenon that's influenced by multiple factors. Everything within us has some factor or amount of variation. Let's think about some examples to put this in perspective. Think about when you're driving to work. There's variation in the duration and the routes that you may take. Let's think about the various meals that you eat per day. There's variation in the menu and the duration of how long it takes to eat that particular meal. Let's think about your wardrobe. There's also variation in your style, your fashion, and your cost. One that people don't stop to think about as much is think about from a medical standpoint. Every time you are, when they're taking the vital statistics on you, they're looking at a sinusoidal wave, either of your pulse or your heartbeat, and so forth. But you'll see a sinusoidal, and they're showing that there's variation in terms of how it beats and so forth. So as you think about the examples that we just talked about, you see one thing, and that is of the variation, there is a sense of fluctuation. So the definition for variation is the fluctuation that we see from point to point within a process is called variation. And as mentioned, all repetitive activities of a process have a certain amount of variation or fluctuation. Another way to view variation is to look at how it changes over time, and this is called a shift or a drift. Natural variation or fluctuation that occurs within a process that happens from initially that's inherent in the process is called a shift. It shifts back and forth or fluctuates back and forth within a particular grid. But over time, everything tends to wear. Even when you look at, again, from your vitals at the hospital, you will see that your heart rate or your blood pressure, whatever, may vary over time. And that wear is what we call a drift. And so the variation may end up spreading larger over time due to what we call typical wear. In processes and products, there are generally only six common factors or sources of variation that causes wear. And those six factors, sometimes known as the 5M1P or the 6Ms, are machines can wear, materials can vary, methods can vary, your measurement method can vary, Mother Nature varies, and people and how they actually do a process can vary, or how from one person to the next person. So again, no matter what happens when a process or product, you can link the source of the variation to those 5Ms and 1P, or what we also call it is the 6Ms of variation. Let's now look at the types of measurement and how do you measure variation. The definition of measure is, measure describes the quantity, the capacity, or the performance of a product, process, or service based on observable data. So how do you measure the variation? In any given process or product over time, you can measure variation in three different locations or the types of variation. You can measure the inputs that are acting on a particular process or product and look at, like say on material going into the process and how material may vary from lot to lot. You can also measure it at the process. You can measure as people rotate in and out of a particular process, you can look at the variation from person to person, or you can look at the variation from machine to machine and so forth. And then the last place where you can do a measurement of the variation is at the output that comes out of the process and how it actually it changes or vary from one output of the product or process to the next. So in this first step, of the measure phase, it's all about being able to recognize the variation in the process and understanding what variation is. Understanding if that variation is due to a shift or a drift, as well as understanding where the variation is occurring. Is it occurring at the input, the process, or the output? By doing these particular things or recognizing these things up front, it helps to establish your baseline process performance, as well as it isolates the source of variation. And it can help you identify areas in which improvements can be made. Now let's move to the second step, or element. The second step of the measure phase is determining the data type. As mentioned throughout this show and in previous shows, Six Sigma DMAIC process is a data-driven process, so qualitative data will not work. It only can be only type of data that can be used for Six Sigma DMAIC tools is quantitative data. Qualitative data would be if someone said it looks good, or this particular defect is bad. There is no, this, both the words good and bad are qualitative. There's no way to quantify what good is. The definition of good has not been defined. If you can convert that into a quantitative number, then only then can Six Sigma be used. So let's focus specifically on quantitative data. And using quantitative data for your Six Sigma DMAIC process, there's two types of quantitative data. The first is attribute. Attribute would consider your go, no-go type data. It has two different levels. You can use it as go, no-go, it pass or reject, but it gives you either the data is good or the data is bad. The most preferred type of data to use is variable data. Variable data gives you discrete continuous digits or units in which you can start to see when a drift is starting to occur, and you can get in front of the issue before it actually causes a catastrophe. On go, no-go, or attribute data, it's very difficult to do that. It usually tells you that something has happened, while attribute data tells you something is about to happen. Let's now move to the third step, and that is developing your data collection plan. In this step of the measure phase, the Greenbelt candidate will develop and document their plan for collecting data. During this critical step, you need to spend the appropriate amount of time considering these particular items. What would the team want to know about the process? What is the potential source of variation in the process? Whether there are cycles in the process and how long data must be collected and to obtain a true picture of the process. Who will collect the data? How will the measurement system be tested? Will the operational definitions contain enough detail? And how much data will be displayed once collected? A good data collection plan will help document and organize the data collection activities and ensure that everyone involved with data collection understands the goals. To try to put it in more simpler terms is, when you're starting to solve a problem, the data that you may have that has indicated or alerted you that there is a problem, many times you do not know how that data was collected. And you don't know if it really is a baseline of what is really going on. So at times, you may find out that the source of the problem, the X that you're trying to solve, there was never any data collected on it. And you may need to collect more data. So this is the part in the particular phase in which you establish what data do you already have and what additional data is needed, as well as you identify what are the forms or the ways in which I will collect it. You may end up creating data collection sheets or forms that you will use to collect the data. As well, you may want to look at in terms of how will I stratify the data. Stratification is how will you dice and slice it in such a way, or sort it in such a way, that you're able to see patterns in the data. Usually this can be done based on the Y equals F of X cascade that we discussed when we talked about the define phase. You may look at the different X's or variables that are potentially sources of variation, and you need to figure out exactly whether it's people, machine, man, excuse me, people, machine, method, measurement that you need to start collecting more data on. Once you have all this, then you're ready to move on to the fourth step. And the fourth step is identifying your measurement system analysis. Once the data collection plan is complete, it needs to be verified before actual data is collected. This type of verification is called the measurement system analysis. A MSA, or measurement system analysis, will indicate whether the variation measured is from the process or the measurement device. The MSA begins with the data collection plan, and it ends when a high level of confidence is obtained that the data collected accurately depicts the variation in the process. It's very important to note at this point that this is where your credibility is founded, in particular into your Six Sigma Green Belt candidacy. The reason being is that if the data that you collect is not accurate and truthful, then again, it can change the perception or the credibility to your project. So at this point, it is very critical that you understand how your measurement is being taken and whether or not the measurement is accurate or not. So let's look at the three different ways in which you can establish confidence and competence in your measurement devices. There are three types of measurement system analysis. The first is when you do not have variable data on a process. Let's say that the project you're working on may be a project where you're trying to reduce the amount of time, invoice time, and there isn't a device used to measure it. What you can do is use what we call an operational definition. That is where you define clearly what is defined as the measurement of how they will measure it. This is something typical that you find when you fill out an application, and it tells you to put the date in two digits for the month, two digits for the day, and maybe four digits for the year. It's making sure that the date is recorded the exact same way each time. Or another example will be if someone gives you an operational definition in regards to the time, where they tell you that they want the time in 24-hour clock versus the 12-hour clock. If it specifies a 24-hour clock, then it wants you to put down 1,600 hours for 4 o'clock p.m. Again, these are examples of operational definition. As we talk about this, think about some of the forms that you fill out, or surveys or whatever it may be, that clearly lays out a definition of how the form is to be completed. The second type of an MSA is called walking the process. This is where you actually work with the individuals that will be collecting the data, and you explain them or train them on how the process should be done or how the data should be collected. You watch them and observe to make sure that they are doing it correctly. And then the last type of measurement system analysis is what's most typically used in a manufacturing facility, and this is called gauge R&R. The R&R stands for repeatability and reproducibility. What you're looking for on this particular one is the variation and the person who's taken the data, the measurement person, or is it the variation in the measurement device. So you're looking to see how reproducible is the is individuals to come up with the exact same number on a particular part, and you're trying to see how repeatable the device, the particular part is with this particular device. Once you have this and you are pretty confident that your measurement system analysis, your measurement device, is giving you accurate data, it's only then can you move on to the fifth step, and that is actually collecting data and establishing your performance capability. Just a key to note in terms of measurement system analysis is generally on a gauge R&R, you do not want to accept a gauge that has a 10% gauge R&R error, meaning that there's more than 10% error in the numbers that will be given you. Generally between 10 and 20% is where you would go and talk to your customer and see if it's acceptable. But again, if the spread of the variation in the tolerance is lower than 10%, then clearly this type of gauge is unacceptable. In the collect data and assess capabilities phase or step, here's where you actually begin to collect data and establish your capability. You now have check sheet forms. You know exactly what data you're going to collect. You have proven out the accuracy of your measurement device, of how you're going to measure it. And so now that you've collected the data, you can assess what the capability is. You can, if it's attribute data, you will assess the capability by using the calculation defects per million opportunity, which is DPMO. You will establish what the defects per million opportunity is and then convert that to a sigma value to understand again what is the capability of your particular process, the baseline capability your process is. If you have variable data, you will use we call CPKs or PPKs. CPK is your short-term potential capability, and the PPK is your long-term potential capability. But in both cases, what you're doing is establishing the baseline of the performance of the existing process. You will use this data in the analysis phase to now begin to analyze what is the root cause or source of the variation. The last and final step of the measure phase is completing a FEMA. At the FEMA is where you go and you assess, the FEMA stands for the Failure Mode and Effect Analysis. And in this particular document, you will assess what is the severity of the particular failure or problem that is occurring. Based on the failure, the severity of the failure, you then will decide or determine what is the probability of it occurring in the current day condition. And then based on its probability of occurring, what is your ability to detect it? Those three numbers, the severity, the occurrence, and the detection, is the product of your what we call the risk priority number. Generally, when I was in operations, we didn't want the risk priority number to be over 130. If it was over 130, we always went back to try to, generally you cannot change the severity, but you can change potentially the occurrence and the detection rate if you can influence and manage those six factors of variation. I hope you have enjoyed today's presentation. If you have any questions or comments, please use the question comment box located in the lower right-hand corner of the homepage of Gogo.com. If you are interested in viewing any of my other shows, just search the Gogo Radio Archive for Shalia M. Hardin. And if there are any shows you would like me to do, please send me an email and let me know. Thanks for your time today, and remember to tune in to Gogo Radio, found exclusively on Gogo.com.